Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee from Prevent Connect, and I am pleased this afternoon to be able to be speaking with Lena Huarbe and Tony Porter, and they're going to be talking about the Healthy Manhood Project in Milwaukee. So good afternoon, Lena and Tony.
Hey, David. Well,
thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, it's great to be able to talk to you, and I'm really excited to do this. So, Lena, can you describe what the Milwaukee Healthy Manhood Project is?
Our goal with the project is to mobilize a movement of men in the city of Milwaukee who are really committed to ending violence and discrimination against all women and girls. And our hopes in this two-year period is to really reach up to about 5,000 community members from the greater Milwaukee area. We started in 2010 and have since reached about 25 community-based organizations and a plethora of community members as well.
As a community member in Milwaukee, how did you decide to get involved?
It's been the life I live. I've always been doing violence against women type of work. But this focus was a bit different because it really allowed me to figure out, as a woman advocate, how to best connect, inspire, and move men to be part of doing the violence against women, particularly because I think that sometimes we haven't, as women advocates, have not really figured out how to connect to men. And the reality is we often look at this issue as a women's issue, and we really have to realize that this is everybody's issue.
Tony, can you describe what your involvement and how you got involved with this project?
One of the events that a Call to Men facilitates are what we call men's institutes. They're 2.5-day training for men and women. 60% of the audience is recommended to be men, but we love to have women there as well. And at these 2.5-day institutes, we take a real intense look at the history of domestic and sexual violence, when men came on board in this work, what is our current role in this work, and how do we move forward in engaging men and boys in domestic and sexual violence prevention. We facilitated an institute for the state of Wisconsin, which was hosted by the Domestic and Sexual Violence State Coalitions. The city of Milwaukee was selected as the place to hold this institute, and it was at our request, which is part of the strategic plan of A Call to Men, that 75% of those in attendance be folks working more on the grassroots community level, community-based organization folks, folks who will not normally or have not normally heard this message or really engaged with many of us in the movement. The host, the coalition, were really able to make that happen, and we had a wonderful, wonderful group of community organizers and community folks and grassroots leaders in the room. We had a great 2.5 days, and the outcome of that 2.5 days, the idea came to us, what about staying involved in this community? They seem very raring to go. How can we go about doing that? With that in mind, we connected with some of the leaders that were in the room at the institute. Lena Huarbe was there. Mr. James Mosley, a woman named Pa Zhang, was there. Several other people. We connected with this group of people, Liz Marquette. We connected with this group of people and asked permission from them. Could we work with your community? Could we continue to work with your community? Which is the true essence of community organizing, having the community give you permission to be there. They were ecstatic about the idea. They took the lead on this work, and hence came about the Milwaukee Healthy Manhood Project.
Lena, can you describe after this group formed what the next steps were?
First was literally being in a room together and talking about, in some plain ways, what's the future we want to create? What are the holes that we're seeing? One of the greatest gifts for us was really what Tony talked about, which was in the room at that institute, we had what I would call true community people, people that had not been with us before, and we had an opportunity to engage them into a longer commitment. It was not just an education. It was not just another training. It was really a spark of community organizing. So once we got in the room together, we started talking about and learning, you know, we know each other, but we got to know each other in a different way with a great hope of engaging all of us and leaving none of us behind. So we were able to recruit, I would say, about 20 to 30 community-based organizations and say, look, we would like to do this. We did this, of course. Tony was involved with that too. And we were all in the room and said, this is what we're proposing to do in your community, in our community, and invited them to that process, which has led to a plethora of different one-day, two-hour, one-hour opportunities to connect on the issue of healthy manhood.
Interesting. You talk about it, it's about connecting about healthy manhood, while the mission of this work was also really about ending men's violence against women. Tony, can you describe how you came to frame this issue as healthy manhood?
As you mentioned, our work historically has been about domestic and sexual violence prevention. But in doing that work, we realized that what we were talking simply about was being healthy men. And as long as we kept the word specific to domestic and sexual violence prevention, it really left a large audience of men out that really felt they had no need to be in the room with us or to invite us into their different events and gatherings. So we felt we would change the name to Concepts of Healthy Manhood, which would allow us to open the door to be open for us to meet with audiences of men everywhere, because all men are interested in that. And then while having these conversations around what it means to be a healthy man, we were also engaging in conversations around domestic and sexual violence prevention. So that was the birth of the name or the title, Concepts of Healthy Manhood. It just opens the door to talk to all men, having the same conversation we would have with domestic and sexual violence prevention, but being welcomed by all men.
Lena, so as a community member, how did that approach feel? Did that feel like it was going to open more doors and create more opportunities?
Absolutely, without a doubt, because the conversations we had and continue to have, just the framework opened the door much wider for all of us. It was an equal field to start talking about, you know, myths and beliefs. How do you recognize violence against women? What do you do when you see it? What's our shared responsibility for that? It really, the ownership of the issue became all ours.
Now, Lena, you were talking about how you were able to get 20, 30 different community organizations. Can you give, and I know that's a long, exhaustive list, can you just give me an example of what some of those organizations were?
Absolutely. You know, we had some of the usual suspects. You know, we had the domestic violence program, the sexual assault program. But when we really looked at healthy manhood, when we opened it in that way, what it allowed us to do was to also bring really small grassroots organizations that are doing amazing work in the community. Whether we're talking about the Running Rebels or we're talking about the Fatherhood Initiative, many of these organizations that really have not been at the table before. I'm trying to think what other organizations right now. We brought in the Reproductive Justice Collective, the Career Youth Development, New Hope Project, a lot of organizations that were particularly working in the community in very urban areas and that have particular attention to the needs of, you know, there's many, either with their youth or people that were working with any other type of marginalized population. Like we have a fairly large community of Hmong people in Milwaukee. So we assure that those people are at the table early on. Oftentimes, those marginalized populations get involved in projects as an afterthought. And what was great about our process, what I'm most proud of, is that we had all those people at the table from the beginning, feeling a sense of ownership and a sense that it was theirs.
Can you share, each of you, I'll start with you, Tony, your impression of how this has made an impact in the community and how your work has helped contribute towards the prevention of domestic violence and sexual violence?
I believe it started with how we engage the community. First of all, you know, we ask for permission to work with the community. These are usually communities that have not had a lot of trusting relationship with folks who are defined as human service providers. And there's a history that's rightfully so that they would be guarded and cautious and suspicious about those who would define themselves as helpers. It's the way you engage in the community. You make use of the influence or the wisdom. You know, you will make use of these people and their relationship, their lifelong relationship, and then they will lead you through the community and help you to gain access to the community. I mean, we work with organizations that, you know, were so invested in what we were talking about, but never really had the opportunity to engage with folks and have these conversations. We were very, very purposeful that we were not there to necessarily educate them and change them. We were there to share some information that we had that we felt would enhance the good work that they were already doing. So we came in a very appreciative way, in a partnering way, not dictating, not in an oppressive way that spouting superiority. I'm from that neighborhood, so I understood, you know, what it would take and how to operate within the constructs of that neighborhood. And dear to my heart is that if we're about ending violence against all women, we have to be and work with communities and the men in the communities that these women are in concert, in harmony, in love with. And so it's been a wonderful, wonderful, absolutely wonderful process. We've completed year one, and we're now moving into year two of this time spent together.
Lena, can you talk about some of your impressions and what's going to be coming up in year two?
The way that this has been different, it's truly, and I don't say this lightly, it's been truly life-changing for me. Even though this has always been my passion, it really was a reminder of going back to basics. We oftentimes, we like to call ourselves a movement, but yet I oftentimes feel like we really are a field that are responding to the needs of funding. You're doing, as an organization, what the funding's telling you to do, and your mission gets all blurry and you lose track of that. This process for me, truly as a woman, as a survivor, as an advocate, as a community organizer, was really a reminder about we can do community organizing, not allowing the funding to dictate what we're doing or how we're doing it. And what's been great about this process is with or without money, all these organizations, all these people that I call my friends and colleagues are now committed to this, whether we have astronomical amounts of funding or not. It's just been a call back to really how do we move mountains when we're all together. With looking at the philosophy and the beliefs of the healthy manhood experience for us, it has allowed us to move together. In year two, what we're really looking at is continuing, of course, the ongoing connections. We kind of talk about it as a three-layer project. Every time that we're planning something, we always try to do something with youth. We always try to do something with the community-based organizations we're working with. And we're always looking at how do we develop the leadership and engage all the people who are leaders who might not even see themselves as that to continue this message forward. And in this year, we're actually looking sometime in the fall to bring all the organizations, all the people, all the what I call natural-born leaders, formal and informal, all together to really create a vision for the next 3 to 5 years for Milwaukee.
Thank you so much. It's really great, Lena and Tony, sharing about this. And we'll be joined shortly by James Mosley, who will also give his impressions about this work. If people want to get more information about the Milwaukee Healthy Manhood Project and other efforts that are based on similar works, please go to A Call to Men's website. That's www.acalltomen.com. Thank you, Tony and Lena, for joining us, and I really look forward to learning more about and seeing the great work coming out of Milwaukee. And I am pleased to now be able to be joined by James Mosley from the Alma Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And James has been very involved in the work in Milwaukee on engaging men that you just heard Tony and Lena talking about. How are you doing this afternoon, James?
Doing well. Very good. Thank you very much, David.
It's a pleasure to be able to get a chance to speak to you. The Healthy Manhood Project that's been going on in Milwaukee. Can you describe why do you think it's such an exciting effort?
I think it fits in with the two dynamics that we've seen move forward in society. One is the increased efforts on the part of many women's organizations to push the need to address domestic violence and how important that is as a generational theme. It's not something that is done for the sake of solving the current problem. It's really something, it's a lifestyle relative to communities engaged in making sure that those things that prevent us from healing and working through our issues are addressed. And this is where the women's groups and efforts have been very helpful. Another complementary effort that has also taken place is the emphasis on fatherhood, male responsibility, those kind of things. So these things are kind of coming together, and culmination of this is the effort in terms of the call to men that says men also have a role supporting violence prevention against women and girls. So while that was seen as something of a women's issue, it's now important and been adopted as part of this whole movement of responsible manhood and responsible fatherhood. And to say that men play a role in this because as some of the major perpetrators of violence, men have to start addressing men's role in this issue in our community.
One of the things that's really impressed me when I hear what's going on in Milwaukee is how you've really engaged the community in a wide sectors of the community. Can you reflect on what that brings this effort and how that's come about?
We looked at the standpoint of this empowerment model. Community organizing really is about establishing relationships with people. There needs to be individuals who are willing to step up. We looked at who are the individuals that would be willing to step up. It's sort of like the whole concept of having a champion. We looked around for the champion. And these were individuals that were in community services and community organizations. This is all at the grassroots level. Most of these folks were not part of, you know, large institutions or large nonprofits. These were folks that had community organizations that are located in neighborhoods and groups that are part of coalition efforts, et cetera. But the whole notion that we took a community organizing perspective on it and began to contact those champions who had been involved in advocacy and social justice work and human services. And from that standpoint, we made contact with those individuals based upon the task force that was put together here in Milwaukee, the ability of those individuals, a part of the task force, to reach out to those individuals that they knew. And from there, we began to build a core group. Ended up being about 20 community-based organizations that began to participate. And again, saw the interest of the need for developing the consciousness of, you know, healthy manhood and men's role in helping to prevent violence against women and girls.
If you could share just one, and I know there's lots of stories you could tell, but just one highlight of how someone became engaged in this effort that really you found inspiring. I would love to hear one of those.
Fairly recent contact. His name is Victor Barnett. Had a group called Running Rebels. It's a local community-based organization, grassroots, that works with young men and women across the Milwaukee area, high school level and young adults. They work with kids to keep them out of gangs and other kind of negative behaviors and whatever. We simply said, Victor, what can you do to help us work on this? Because this is really important. Victor has always been an advocate of kind of pushing the envelope here and what are the new things that we can do to continue to help build responsible adulthood for some of the youth and young adults that he works with. We told him about this, and he said, well, let's check in with Mike, his coordinator. And Mike was, like, on fire with this. And so he came to one of our educational sessions for the community-based organizations, literally just turned on. He said, man, we got to have this. You know, it's just like they actually arranged to have their staff training, and they brought in all of their school-based outreach counselors, individuals that work in community-based organizations. They had all of those young adults in a session, and Tony did a presentation. But what was so exciting was he was willing to devote a whole staff training, and he brought in about 50 staff and said, they need to hear this. Afterwards, they told me that Victor was doing some fundraising that day. He wasn't able to make the session, but they came up to Victor afterwards. In their evaluation about the session, they simply said, thumbs up. So that was some good information, and it really made me understand how important it is for men to have a proper perspective when working in not only this field, but having a value-based format that says to them, this is how you need to treat and respect women in any environment. That was, for me, was one of the important pieces that I saw from a very grassroots type of organization where this kind of information and what we're doing tends to have a very, very deep impact on both the men and the women that attend.
It's really exciting because, of course, the work then continues as these organizations work together with this effort in Milwaukee. Well, thank you, James, so much. I appreciate you taking the time out this afternoon to join me. And it's great to be able to learn more about the work that's been going on with the Healthy Manhood Project in Milwaukee. And people can, of course, get more information from A Call to Men's website. So I encourage people to go there to get more information.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.